Hey, it's Savannah. If you've made it this far in the That's What She Said podcast universe, we wanted to say thank you and we hope you've been enjoying it so far. We did already cover season 2, episode 2, titled Sexual Harassment as our pilot at the very beginning of this podcast. So we did want to go ahead and dig into the vault and share that again in order to stay chronological with everything. So here it is, and we hope you enjoy it for a second time. I'm Savannah.
And I'm Rachel.
And this is
That's What She Said.
Two minutes and 21 seconds into The Office Season 2, Episode 2, Sexual Harassment, Michael shares a story about his friendship with Todd Packer, a fellow salesman at Dunder Mifflin.
Todd Packer and I are total BFF. Best friends forever. He and I came up together as salesmen. One time, we were out and we met the set of twins, and Packer told them we were brothers. And so, you know, one thing led to another, and we brought him back to the motel, and then Packer did them both. It was awesome, so.
So before we get into the details of this episode, Season 2, Episode 2, let's catch up a little bit. With our Dundee or Roast segment. Rachel, do you want to tell us what that's all about?
I would love to. So, Dundees are the annual employee awards for Dunder Mifflin that the boss, Michael Scott, gives out. Mm-hmm. Dundees are going to be probably the positives from our week.
Yeah, right? Our wins,
our little awards. Only the bushiest beavers will get Dundees.
Or whitest sneakers, you know.
Yes. So those are our Dundies. Mm-hmm. A roast would be like something bad, tough, annoying from the week.
Yeah.
In one episode, Michael Scott has his employees roast him, mm-hmm. which goes
terribly wrong.
Well, exactly as you would expect, and also nothing like what right. you would expect.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So Dundies good, roast bad. Mm-hmm. So Savannah, let me know. Catch me up on your week. What is your Dundee and or your roast for the week?
Yeah, so my Dundee, can I have two?
Can I have two?
Okay, so my first Dundee is that I saw Stevie Nicks a couple weeks ago.
Oh, I didn't get
to talk to you about that yet. Yeah, and it was amazing. It was in Hershey, Pennsylvania, and it was just perfect and awesome, and she's just fantastic. My second Dundee is that tomorrow I'll be traveling to my childhood best friend's wedding.
Aww.
So that's going to be awesome and fun. It's funny because her and I are total opposites. I was like a girly cheerleader in high school and she was the emo, like punk music.
So wait,
kid.
So many things about that sentence surprised me, but continue.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep in mind, Rachel and I have only known each other since April of this year, so we're still learning some things.
This year,
we went to Peru this year in April, only months ago. So yeah, I was a cheerleader from middle school to high school, almost college even.
I was full soccer player. I don't know that our paths would have crossed in the traditional high school.
Yes, but my best friend and I are total opposites, but we've remained friends this whole time.
She's my only
remaining friend from like childhood. My hometown. Yeah, pretty much. So
I love that.
Yeah, so I'm really excited to see her get married tomorrow. So that is my second Dundee. What is your Dundee or roast this week?
So I have both a Dundee and a roast.
Ooh, I love it.
So should I start with the Dundee?
Do we want good news first or bad news? Give me the bad news first.
Bad news first is that my Roomba broke.
Oh, yes.
And that's like, I love the Roomba. I feel like a queen and not a peasant. And now I'm vacuuming the
manually.
Floors. Manually.
Yeah.
And I have a dog, so.
Lots of hair. Yeah.
Yeah. So my Roomba breaking really makes me, you know, get a little down.
So what do you do when your Roomba breaks? Is there like a Roomba mechanic that you can call?
These are good questions. You can buy replacement parts, but I did that.
Sounds expensive.
And then it stopped running.
Oh,
so,
no.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I replaced like a filter or something and then
she quit on you.
And I wonder if maybe I didn't use the Roomba. I have no idea.
Well, that stinks.
So that's my roast for the week is like my robot vacuum that's supposed to make my life easier is now a source of tension in my day. So
correct. Okay, well, let's follow that up with something good.
Okay, so my Dundee for this week was that I have a friend who moved away in this past year or so. Mm-hmm. She's a few years younger than me, and we met when I was working at VCU, and remained friends after that. So just like a really special person in my life. When you move to a new place, it's really hard to make adult friends.
Yeah, and so
she
was
a student, but you know, old and older.
Yeah.
So we became good friends. So she moved away, which was really disappointing. But today I got a letter from her in the mail.
Like a handwritten letter?
And like, do you know what that looks like?
Snail mail?
Like she bought a card in a store.
Put a stamp on it.
Wrote her return address. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah, classic.
It was cute, fall themed, and she's so like this pretty like pen in there, like wrote silvery gold sort of pen.
That's sweet.
So that's my Dundee for the week, was just some like true, genuine,
wholesome
friend vibes.
Yes. Yep. Oh my God, I love that. Well, that's great. That actually made my week as well. That's so sweet.
You had two Dundees. Can I take both of them?
Sure.
I
want to
pretend I saw Stevie Nicks.
Yeah. If anyone else wants to share their Dundies or roast for their week, feel free to email us or on Instagram as well. We'll share the handles in the show notes for that. But before we get into everything else, the meat of the show, we're going to have a quick little segment called Beat or Bear.
And you'll have to stay tuned to find out what that is.
Yes, we'll catch you in the next segment.
So we'll rate 5 plot points from the sexual harassment episode as bears or beats. For those of you familiar with the show, you'll know that this rating system is a reference to Jim's prank on fellow salesman and beet farmer Dwight Schrute. Jim impersonates Dwight as a joke and emphasizes the 3 things that Dwight loves: bears, beets, and Battlestar Galactica. So beets are good in this game. Bears are bad. Battlestar Galactica is an acceptable answer. That just means it's in between or way the heck out there.
Okay.
Just when you don't know what to answer.
Yes.
So, Savannah, are you ready to play Beat or Bear?
I'm ready to play Beat or Bear.
Okay. So, 5 Beat or Bears from this episode. Number 1, email forwards.
Ooh. I'm going to say Beat because I was that person who would do the email text chain forwards. Like years ago. So yes, that's a beat for me.
You were one of those. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Todd Packer, beat or bear?
Ew, freaking bear. He's a literal actual bear. I cannot. We'll get into it. He's a bear for me.
The sexual harassment training video they watch.
Oh, and it ends up being Daryl banged her. Okay. Yeah. Yes. That is totally a beat for me.
Yes. Okay. How about Dwight and his his questions for Toby on the female anatomy?
Honestly, that's a beat for me as well.
And last but not least, she makes an appearance in this episode, and maybe one other, maybe none others, the big blow-up doll.
Yes, she's going to be a beat for me because female empowerment.
Love it. Thanks for playing. Okay, so we'll dive into these points a little more as an episode recap. If you've seen it, if you haven't, we'll give you the lowdown on the sexual harassment season 2, episode 2.
Yes. If you know, you know. If you don't, you will.
Okay, so first we'll give a quick episode recap if you haven't seen it in a while or have never seen it. And then we'll go through more specific points where we have our discussion phase where Savannah and I will just jabber about the specific things that happened in that episode. So this sexual harassment episode opens with Michael sending inappropriate email forwards to his whole staff. He has this friend, Todd Packer, who becomes a regular character. It's like his BFF, he says.
Yes. And then they have to watch a training video and go through a training with Toby.
Why?
Because sexual harassment. The CFO resigned from Dunder Mifflin because he sexually harassed his secretary, and she basically, you know, reported him. So he resigned.
Yep.
And so that is causing all of Dunder Mifflin to have to go through this training
sexual
and watch a video.
Training.
Right.
Yes. And Todd Packer character, who has only briefly been introduced, but I don't think been on screen before now,
no,
is like a walking sexual harassment lawsuit.
Correct.
So all of these things are happening in the big Dunder Mifflin picture and in our office, like little office, mm-hmm. At the same time.
Mm-hmm. And it does come to a point where people are asking questions. For example, Dwight goes to Tommy and asks him about specific female anatomy. I think ironically, but it's a great moment between the two of them. And then another highlight would be, you know, the blow up doll that comes into the picture and kind of makes a character for herself.
Well, Michael makes her a character.
Of course he does. We don't know where he gets it from.
He goes down to the warehouse, mm-hmm. to get this giant, like, sex blow-up doll somehow that was on a shelf in this paper warehouse, and he's, you know, like asking the warehouse guys for jokes, mm-hmm. and it's all like the theme of the whole episode is literally sexual harassment, and mm-hmm. Michael is just this like bumbling idiot who is like, well, you know, these jokes are funny, like, how can I not be free in my own office?
Right. And definitely showcases the fact that he just can't help himself when it comes to this stuff as well.
It's cringy.
Yeah, it's cringy. And his famous phrase, that's what she said, is born in this episode as well, in the midst of all of this.
And this episode, you know, last little plot point, ends with Michael hiring a lawyer to protect him because he is feeling threatened by, you know, the sexual harassment training video, and his boss Jan comes in, and he's like, well, this is my lawyer. He thinks he's being targeted. He's so used to being the bad boy.
Right.
And Jan's like, his boss says, no, the lawyer that I have with me is the company lawyer. Like, he is your lawyer. So they're actually going to these branches to, I mean, obviously corporate America, but, like, protect mm-hmm. their higher-level employees, hook them up with a lawyer. They give everyone this training video, which, like, actually doesn't prevent the sexual harassment happening in the office, as we see.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's just this big, sort of funny, awful, cringy mess in this episode.
And it's wonderful, and I love it.
It's great. So let's go through, we'll go through five kind of points that Savannah and I picked out from the episode earlier. So the number one point, talk to me about the email forwards that Michael sends.
The email forwards. So these email forwards are cringy and gross and usually sexually based, like, for instance, the monkey sex video that mm-hmm. he talks about in the episode, and
he's gonna forward it like it's hot.
Forward it like it's hot. Exactly. He's the, what does he say, the king of email forwards?
He is the king.
The king. So the email forwards, it kind of riles everyone up, and it's kind of got a, like, chaotic tone in the office that day, and Pam kind of makes an announcement saying, like, hey guys, I need you guys to be on your best behavior today because my mom is coming to the office. And just briefly, Pam's mom, the actress that plays her in this episode, is a different actress than what we see later on. So there's that little bit of, you know, inconsistency there, which I find interesting. But so then Pam's mom coming to the office becomes a whole thing as well. And of course, Michael has to make a that's what she said joke over Pam saying that's what she or Pam saying my mom is coming. And then he's like, that's what she's like. He can't help himself. Yeah.
And it's this, like, young, you know, women in the workplace and her mother, and it's just, like, the most inappropriate thing.
Yes. And so Michael also brings up the fact that he gets these email forwards from a friend named Todd Packer, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Do you want to tell us about Todd Packer?
Todd Packer is the definition of sexual harassment.
Yes.
He is just gross and, like, probably all the worst characteristics that Michael Scott has, like, wrapped into another person and, like, take away any of the endearing qualities Michael has.
Yes, and then put that on steroids.
And then, yes, and make him bald, and, yeah.
Oh, God.
He just, like crude gestures, right? Mm-hmm. Like, everything he says, you're like, ugh. Like,
his license plate says, well hung.
And Ryan asked him if he's a big William Hung fan.
He's like,
actor.
Why does everyone always ask me that? Who
the hell is that? Yeah, so he's just like the worst. Character so well done.
For sure.
Yeah, and yeah, so Todd Packer coming to the office on this episode works, right? It's everything that's wrong with...
Yes, and also with Todd Packer there, Michael is even more encouraged.
Right.
You know, in his behavior with this stuff. Like,
idolizes him. So
loves
him. He wants to make him laugh. Mm-hmm. He laughs when Todd Packer tells all these terrible jokes, right? Randall's nailing his secretary, right? Like, he comes in and tells this, like, just awful story about, like, how the CFO gets fired and, like, saying these, you know, terrible things about the secretary. So he is just, Todd Packer to me is just literally like a walking lawsuit, you know? He is the definition of sexual harassment.
Most definitely, and I don't know how he has not gotten fired. Yeah. Makes no sense to me. Even though he literally does this stuff in front of corporate, in front of Jan, you know, like later on in the episode, and like she could easily go to David Wallace and be like, dude, fire this guy. Like, yeah. But she doesn't. And it's just, it's almost like he's untouchable in a way for some reason.
Well, he's just like Michael in the beginning, right? He's like, somehow got promoted. He's this like white guy who knows how to kind of talk to people and make people laugh, and he's schmoozy. Like, so I feel like it is this sort of just caricature of
definitely of
this man and Michael's best friend.
Right, exactly, exactly. So Todd Packer does come to the office this day, you know, that all of this is happening. And we meet him in person, and he's just terrible. And then it ends up being that Ryan has to drive him to sales calls because he has a DUI. Todd Packer has a DUI.
So he has a DUI. How did he ignore his DUI and drive himself to the office that day?
That is the question, because his little red Corvette or whatever it is that says well hung is sitting in the Dunder Mifflin parking lot, and it's like...
And it's parked in between two lines pretty well.
Correct. So. And it's like, you got yourself here, but you need Ryan to drive you to go do sales calls. And Ryan is the intern. This is his first time. This is his first day. It's his first day. Yeah, he's a temp. You're right.
No, his first day is the first
episode. The first episode. I keep mixing those up.
No, but it's still, like, only six episodes.
Yeah. He's still super new. Yeah. And so he always just has to do the grunt work anyways. But, yeah, he has to drive Todd Packer around. So then Todd Packer leaves. And once Todd Packer leaves, they get into the training of it all.
Yeah, so they are mandated by corporate to watch this training video from the 80s, judging by the attire and the hair.
And the hair, yeah. And the grainy video footage, yeah.
On a VCR in their break room.
On like a rolling TV cart.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a while ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is like a mandatory video that the HR rep, Toby, says is, you know, from came from corporate. Everyone has to watch this. Mm-hmm. And I also will add, for those of you who know, Toby is Michael's, like, nemesis. He thinks he's gross and the worst.
Even though Toby never really has actually done anything to him. But try to make Michael follow rules.
But in this sexual harassment episode, I think it really exemplifies the conflict between them, because
for sure
Michael is so crass and thinks he want like trying to be one of the boys and thinks it's funny, and Toby's the HR rep, right? So I feel like this is the basis of their like
relationship. Yeah, definitely. So with the training video, they're watching it. It's gonna be Daryl and warehouse. Who else? The rest of the warehouse guys, or three of them maybe. It's warehouse guys in the conference room with Michael. They're eating
pizza.
Microwave or frozen pizza or something. They're eating pizza. They're watching this video. And Michael tries to invite people to come watch the video. Of course, nobody does. Nobody wants to. Kevin somehow magically appears in the room eating pizza at one point, but he always appears when there's food, so that's like not surprising.
They cut out, right? And then they cut back.
Yes.
And he's in there somehow. He just, like, popped in. He just appeared.
Enjoying pizza. So, yes, they're watching this video. It's old. It's a room full of dudes watching it.
The Natural Redhead.
The Natural Redhead is the name of this training video. And basically, it's
a skit of, you know, these coworkers and these guys are saying, you know, the stuff about this redheaded girl that they work with and wondering if the carpet matches the drapes and stuff like this, making inappropriate jokes for the purpose of this training video. And Daryl pauses the video and he says, "Hey, yo, I know her. That's that girl from that thing." And he admits that he like has banged this lady in the training video. And Roy is like, "No way, man, that's her."
And Daryl's like, "Yeah, that's her. That's that girl."
And of course, with like everything going on in the office that day, Michael just has to go tell someone. And at this time, Michael is coming out of the conference room. And it pans to the door of the office and corporate is coming in. Jan's coming in as Michael is coming out of the conference room to announce that Daryl banged her.
Daryl banged her.
Yes. So yeah, he basically announces to the office. He's like, "Hey, you know that video that corporate gave us? The girl in the video, Daryl banged her." And of course, Jan is like livid about this. She's just so annoyed. So,
just the timing. Yes. It's like so funny.
Yes. So then after that, Michael gets pulled into his office with Jan and the lawyers. Lawyers?
Yeah, plural? Just one guy, but I think you don't know he's a lawyer.
Right.
Or yeah. Do you know? No, you do know he's a lawyer because Is Michael it? Knows a lot of lawyer
I was going to say, yeah, yeah, exactly.
But you don't know that he's Michael's lawyer, right? Michael's assuming that he's in trouble.
Right.
And this guy's like, yeah, against right. it. Yeah.
Yeah. So Michael's in his office.
Mr. O'Malley.
With Mr. O'Malley and Miss Jan Levinson Gould. And they're talking about what's going on with Dunder Mifflin. Meanwhile, Dwight what's is getting Dwight curious. Up to? He's getting curious in the annex with Toby. Why don't you elaborate on that?
You want me to talk about
it? I can talk about it. So we're all girls here.
So Dwight has lots of questions for Toby about female anatomy. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know where the clitoris is. Mm-hmm. He Googled it and it said it was at the crest of the labia.
Yeah.
And he,
I want you guys to know Rachel looked me in the eyes as she was saying that.
I was like, you better listen
we
up.
Were in a sweat lodge in Peru together. We're like bonded. Yeah, so
Mother Earth magically like tied us together for life. So
yes. So, yeah, so Dwight is asking all these questions.
Dwight had lots asking of questions. All these questions.
Yeah.
And Toby, like, again, this just, like, kind of, I don't know, derpy, like, you feel sorry for him, HR
He's
rep.
Like the human Eeyore.
Eeyore, legit, yeah, like a sad sack. For real. That's for a real. Good, that's a good metaphor, except with, like, red hair.
Yeah.
He's just, yeah. like, a little sad sack. And so here's this, like, weird, you know, I don't know, 20... like older 20 30 year old whatever beet yeah. farming weirdo like asking him about female anatomy
yes.
on sexual harassment day.
Yes.
So that is honestly for me, Savannah, I think that's like one of the like I don't know how they get through that scene.
Because it was improv also.
Was
right?
it improv?
I think Rainn Wilson, I'm pretty sure
said that, that improv- was
yeah. I don't think that was scripted. And so how Toby did not, how his actor did not break, like, I don't know.
Well, he just kind of, like, he has, like, a straight face, and he's like, I don't. Like, he barely yes. changes expression.
Yes, and Toby, mind you, for those of you who haven't watched, Toby is, like, he's got a little kid. I think he's divorced.
Yes.
And he's this HR rep at a paper company in Pennsylvania who sits in an annex in a little cubicle in the back of the office.
Yeah, like, and like deals with just, Michael Scott for yes, his boss.
Yes, he's just that guy.
He's sad.
Yeah.
He's sad and kind of, like, you almost, like, want to like him, but I think you more just feel bad for him. Is that
right,
fair?
Right, and so then when people do stuff like this, like, Michael gives him a hard time or Dwight is, like, you know, purposefully giving him a hard time about the female anatomy, like, he's, like, visibly uncomfortable, you know?
He's just uncomfortable and awkward and sad.
Sad.
And
always sad.
The HR rep. That's all you need to know yeah. about Toby. And he's divorced, so he's not really part of his family.
As per Michael. Yes. Yes.
Oh, my gosh. So,
the other thing I wanted to talk about with this episode is a character that doesn't get a lot of mentions.
Ooh, tell me.
The blow-up doll. I want to talk about her.
Girl. Yeah. Tell me.
She gets a bad rap, but she did not She did not ask to be
Believe
there.
Believe women, am I right?
Believe women. We do know she's European.
No.
Per Jim.
Oh, that's right.
Because she doesn't wear clothes in his talking head with him. And he's like, I'm sorry, she's European.
She keeps trying to kiss him. He's like, stop it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I love her because there is a lore about her.
Yeah.
There's something about her.
Like, where
mysterious.
Did she come from?
Where did she come from? My theory, I have a theory. It's not proven, but I have a theory that she was folded up in Todd Packer's car and he carries a hand pump so that he can have sex on the road with her.
That's actually a very good theory.
It's in the trunk behind like the well-hung license plate, I'm telling you. Yeah. Like, you know how murderers have murder kits? Todd Packer has a sex kit in his car.
Do you know how murderers have murder kits?
I mean, I like true crime, so yeah, maybe that's something you didn't know about me.
I was just concerned that you knew that murderers had murder
kits. Well, they
do.
Also, I took serial killing classes in college.
Sure, that doesn't freak
me out
at all.
Learning about serial killing, not learning how to do it, just clarifying. Clarify that.
I'm gonna leave right now.
We're at my house. She's trapped.
Gosh.
Ooh. Just kidding, guys. Okay, so the blow up doll, I like her because she's mysterious. We don't really know exactly where she came from.
Michael just finds her, right?
She hangs around for a little while. I feel like we see her further down the road. She gets thrown off the roof.
She's on the roof of his, like when Jan and the lawyer and Michael are talking in his office. She, like, Jan, like, looks up, and she's just, like, on top of his, like, dresser thing in his office.
But does she stay there later on?
So here's another question for you. Where does she go? Because when he gets angry,
imagine her, like, walking down the street. That's what I'm leaving down her middle.
Justice for the blow-up doll. When
my right foot is deflating. Okay.
When Michael gets angry that he's being censored, right? He's, like, scared and frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
He angrily, like, has her by the arm.
Wait, does he really?
Yeah, like, I think right outside his office. And he, like, throws her out the door.
Oh, yes,
it might be a deleted scene. I don't remember.
In the extended version, yeah.
Yeah, in the extended version.
He definitely does throw her down the hallway. And I'm like,
what did she do to you? Yeah, and what...
I feel like The warehouse would have been a good place for her to live, but I don't know if that's actually where she was.
Down there, though?
I feel like we see her in the background every now and then, you know?
Yeah, so maybe she was in the warehouse.
Yeah, she could have been.
Wait, she is in the warehouse because don't they put a picture of Michael's head over? Because he squeezes her butt. He's like, whir, and then he turns her around and it's like his head.
Really?
Yeah,
I don't know if I remember that. Episode. Oh my God, I love that.
Yeah, so
how the turntables.
So she definitely hangs around.
She does.
But that is it's just like the epitome of the episode, right? It's like this obscene, like abhorrent, like your boss. Like it's just
your
all
boss.
So inappropriate. And then it's like, how is this happening in my life?
How is this all happening when corporate is there?
Who is allowing this to happen?
Jan Levinson Gould, but it's because she loves Michael. We just don't know it yet.
I don't know. I feel like she...
How does she let... She's mean. She's mean and scary.
Yeah.
And she lets him get away with a lot of shit.
No, you're right. And also, isn't this all the same time when they're like... talking about downsizing and stuff in the branches, like, or that at least has happened before.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, she doesn't, like, maybe it's the corporate culture at the time, but how are you not looking at that and going, red flag? Like,
correct.
You're done.
You're done.
Instead, no, let's bring in a lawyer to protect you.
Right. But Michael is a good boss and his branch does really well. Surprisingly.
Yeah,
it's
just,
like dumb luck.
He's just a goof. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I think we covered all the points in the episode.
Yeah, pretty much. I think I have a couple of things that I wanted to address that isn't on our hot point list since we have a little time in this segment,
it.
I want to highlight the Catholic schoolgirl.
Ah, yes.
Centerfold. I want to highlight that just because it's one of my favorite Stanley moments.
Okay, so tell us what
and I
that's
feel like
about.
It's when we start to get to know Stanley's personality a little more. He's just this old, grumpy, big black guy, and he just has worked at Dunder Mifflin for a long time. He's sassy as hell.
Sassy as hell.
Like, I feel like he's everyone in corporate America.
Yeah.
Like, internally. On the inside. Exactly. Yeah. He's fantastic. So, basically, Michael is talking to them in the office. They're all sitting in their cubicles. He's talking to them. And, you know, he's kind of talking about how they should still be able to do this sort of stuff with the email forwards and all this kind of stuff.
He doesn't want to sacrifice.
He doesn't want to sacrifice. And he points out that Stanley has a centerfold picture on his desk of a girl in a Catholic schoolgirl's outfit. And he says, it turns him on.
He said, what, are we just going to take that away? Stanley likes it, turns him on.
Yes.
I got to admit, the best part of my day is looking at
it. Yes. He says this out loud in front of everyone. And Stanley looks at him and goes, that is my daughter. She goes to Catholic girls' school. And Michael's like, that's okay, you can keep it up. And Stanley's like, I'm taking it down. Like, you just ruined it.
Meanwhile, his daughter is not even...
His daughter's a little promiscuous, just going to say, later on.
But she's only, what, 13?
She's young as hell in that picture.
She's like in middle school.
Yeah, and I feel like it kind of alludes to Michael's, like, naivete and just innocence. Because it's like, yeah, definitely ignorance. But that's one of my favorite Stanley moments, and I wanted to highlight that because it's great in this episode.
I adore that, and... Here's another character I want to highlight. Mm-hmm. We talked about it briefly, but Pam's mom.
Oh my god, yeah.
So Pam's mom comes in, and it's this super exciting thing for Pam because Pam's mom does not have a cell phone, right?
Yeah, so she does point that out, yeah.
Pam doesn't know what time she's going to show up, which to me is just bonkers.
Which also I'm like, you're not going to print out a MapQuest or something? Like, you
or tell
should
her
know
what time you're showing up.
Yeah, yeah. Use a payphone. I mean, hello, something.
But it's interesting because Pam's mom, when she gets there, she's talking to Pam. Pam and Jim earlier had, like, a cute little scene where Jim was like, I'm really excited to meet your mom. Mm-hmm. Pam was like, oh, you are? He, he, he. Like, I don't love you. I'm engaged to Roy from the warehouse. Like,
yes.
And then, so, you know, Roy comes in and hugs Pam's mom, you know, and whatever. They connect and interact. And it's, I think it's, like, shot from the point of over Jim. So you can see Jim's just, like, sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so then Roy leaves and Pam's mom goes to Pam and she goes, so which one's Jim? And it's so obvious and like such a mom whisper, like, you know, her mic, Pam's mic probably picks it up. Like,
yes.
But Pam's like, shh, mom, like she's all embarrassed and Jim's kind of smiling.
Exactly. Yeah. It kind of pans out a little and shows Jim smiling a little bit. You can tell he's like proud of that. But it also makes you question, like, what is Pam telling her mom about Jim? Like, you're obviously saying something, but you're also engaged as well to someone else.
Yeah. Like, is it, it's, they always say, like, best friends in the office.
Yeah.
But the mom was asking, like, which one, also, how would you not know which one is Jim? Like, would she point at Stanley and be like, or Dwight? Like,
that's a great point.
Thank you. I mean, like, who? Oscar, Kevin, Creed.
Literally.
Like, but
that's
so
amazing.
It's just, yeah, it's just like a little, it's this little cute moment for Pam and Jim.
Well, and it kind of, yeah, and it kind of like shows the start of their kind of like romance, I guess.
Well, the
and
fact
like,
that she talked to her mom about him is,
yes,
you know, and that Roy's there and it's like, oh, hey, handsome. Like, because Pam and Roy were together from high school.
Yeah.
Right?
They went to prom together.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, probably knows the mom pretty well.
And, for sure.
But then she's like, oh, but point out Jim to me.
Right. You know? Right. When she's literally about to go to lunch or dinner or whatever it is with her future son-in-law.
Fiance.
Wait, yeah.
Fiance. Not at the time. Her boyfriend.
Boyfriend,
no,
I guess.
Engaged.
Yeah. Were they engaged? Yeah. They've been engaged
the
for
first two
decades.
Didn't count.
Right.
Yeah.
And then really quickly, we've got a couple minutes left. I want to, now that you brought up Roy, I just, a cringy moment from him. First of all, we see him in this episode and he's not the Roy that we know necessarily. Like, he's wearing like a sweater vest and like his hair is slicked
when
back and whatever. Yeah. At the office.
Yeah.
To meet Pam and Pam's mom. And he comes up to the office. It annoys me so much. And he is like, I don't know, he doesn't like hang out there in the office with Pam and her mom. He's like hey, what's up? Looking forward to having dinner. And he's this line that I hate that is so fucking cringe. He says, he like does this awkward dance thing. He's like, I'm going to go start the car. What kind of tunes you want? Classic or oldies or whatever the fuck little he says. Oldies. Little oldies. And he like does a little like DJ, like, I don't know, jig. And I'm like, in his fucking sweater vest. And it's just knowing him like later on down the road, he's just a dick and like, get away from me with your sweater vest. And I don't know, it's just annoying and cringy, and you just have to see it because it's painful. Well, but he's
introduced as, like, in the first season, he's a little bit of a villain, right? Yeah. Like, with Pam and Jim. And
yeah.
But he's also just kind of like this, I mean, they're all caricatures, but, like,
yeah,
you know, of, like, the warehouse guy. Like, he's like, don't, you know, don't wake me up, Pam, I'm playing ball in the morning, you
make
know.
Make me a sandwich, yeah, type of guy, yes. That giving that energy, for sure.
Yeah, just the typical, like, warehouse worker.
Right.
But, so then, like, and he doesn't want to hang out with people from the office, and then him, like, coming up there and putting that on, I could see how that'd be super frustrating.
Yeah. And I wish we could have seen that meal with Pam, Roy, and her mom. Just, I wanted to see how, like, what their, like, dynamic was. Is. Yeah, and, like, how he was in front of her mom.
It's, I can tell just you right interesting. Now, it's him being a dick, her not speaking her mind, and her mom just being, like,
which
keeping
one's
the
Jim?
Peace.
Yeah.
Which one's Jim? So which one's Jim?
At the dinner? Like, oh my God.
Love it.
Okay, perfect. I think that wraps up this segment. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll come back with some quick trivia. So we're back from our break and our next segment is going to be quick trivia. So we'll just give you some trivia about The Office, the characters, and just the show in general.
It has not been extensively fact-checked. This is as much research as Savannah and I can do in our free time and with our limited attention spans. Please continue.
Oh my God, I was not expecting that, but true. So our first trivia fact is going to be about That's What She Said. So the That's What She Said phrase was often used in 90s SNL sketches. And we also wanted to add that the British version of That's What She Said is said the actress to the bishop. And this is actually said in the British version of The Office, which for those of you who don't know the show, the British version was the original and then the American one was made and expanded after that.
I think that's funny because a lot of Michael Scott phrases where I'm unsure what he means are actually from 90s SNL sketches.
Right. So they are like referencing something.
So that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure.
Another fact is that BJ Novak, who plays Ryan, got the idea for this episode after going to an NBC sexual harassment seminar.
Yeah. So this was based on like real experience, which I love when they do that in this show. And I can just picture what this NBC sexual harassment seminar is like. I mean, I've been through a few corporate trainings for topics like this and others, and while they are important, they are just always poorly done.
They're and like cookie cheesy cutter and all the same.
Yes, hard to sit through, not because of the topic, but because of the acting or whatever, you know. So I can just relate to that so hard. And I love that he based it on his real experience.
I also think like there was something where he like heard it a lot in college.
Right.
BJ Novak. So he was, which is so great for Michael Scott as a character to have that like tagline because he's trying so hard, such a frat boy, wannabe frat boy. And it's just the crude humor that he thinks is cool and everyone else is appalled by.
Exactly. And it is ironic because Michael is not at all like a frat boy by any means, but he wants to be.
Like, he wants to be so hard.
Yes, and he's a pick me girl. Like if that was a thing back then, he would be a pick me girl for sure. So we also learned that this episode was aired with a warning of explicit content on TBS because BJ Novak wanted to write the word boner into the show and he had to get an explicit warning for that. So to kind of expand on the boner situation, there was a scene between Michael and Phyllis. This was towards the end of the episode after they've gone through the trainings and corporate being there and, you know, talking about this all day. Michael is trying to be on his best behavior now.
Trying.
Because Todd Packer made a joke about Phyllis, a sexual joke, you know, aimed at Phyllis. And Michael wanted to comfort her.
A degrading joke.
Yeah, for sure. And Michael wanted to comfort her or something. And he, like, hugs her and forces a kiss on her cheek. And she was like, oh, don't worry, Michael, I'm not going to report you know, to HR or whatever. And he's like, well, I'm not worried about that. Only thing I am worried about is getting a boner. And, like, I love that moment so much because
Savannah, like, moved her head from side to side when she said that.
I'm in character. But I love that scene for so many reasons because it seems like it's improv almost. Like, Phyllis's reaction is, like, a very genuine, like, confused what the fuck face, but also, like, trying not to laugh. Like, it just seems unexpected, and I love her reaction, because I also have the same reaction to that every time I watch it. And it's just funny because the whole office is quiet and just looking at them, and it's awkward. And
and you think Michael's going to have some sort of redemption where he's standing up to Todd Packer or finally showing some semblance of professionalism. And then he, of course, just steps just right over the line.
After all that work they did that day, the training, the lawyers, the corporate.
To find out where the line was.
Yes, yes. Oh, my God.
Just so he could do a big, fat somersault right over it.
Right over.
Well, that's funny that it's aired with an explicit warning because they say, what, clitoris, labia. I mean, those are female anatomy parts. But I feel like there's a lot of language in this show, but boner for sure is the line.
Yeah. Exactly. So I love that scene. And if you need any reason to watch this episode or The Office, it's that one.
bold claims.
So the next one is that Jenna Fischer, who plays Pam, and Angela Kinsey, who plays Angela, they said that they have actually been sexually harassed and just harassed in general by coworkers in previous office jobs before they were acting.
So that real world.
Yeah, exactly. Another realistic detail there. And also just, you know, as a fellow American woman, I can relate, you know?
As a fellow woman. Yeah, it's just...
Well, yeah, in general. Yeah,
it's just like, but that American workplace culture is also a specific thing. But
for sure.
Just as a woman, I think it's like so sad and awful and indicative of a lot that these actresses are like, oh, yeah. Like, yeah, this is something I've experienced. Oh, yeah, I can completely understand this because I've worked in an office.
Like, exactly.
It's such a, yeah, like, it's just so
with
common.
People like Michael Scott, probably.
Right. You know? I definitely had a Michael Lee boss where he was like, yeah. Just yeah, where he was, because Savannah's cat is meowing in the background.
Gerald.
Yeah, just so, it's funny that people can relate to this, like, awkward, like, work environment, like, where these ignorant men are saying things that are really uncomfortable.
Yes, and also, like, it's so cringe and hard to watch, but I think it's because a lot of people have experienced it. Like, they're, like, living it again, you know?
Yes, cringy.
Yeah. As heck.
Yes. The whole episode. Well, it's about sexual harassment in the workplace, so...
Right.
So, one more piece of trivia. This is just something we talked about. That when Michael, with those email forwards, Michael goes up to Jim and say, hey, did you get my email? And Jim's like, no. And Michael's like, well, did you check your spam folder? And the email's in there.
Right.
So all emails from Michael to Jim are filtered through spam?
Right. Which is like, I mean, I can't even imagine doing that to like in real life. Like, emails from your boss are important. Although I guess if you're... boss is Michael Scott, they're not really that important.
Monkey sex videos or
senator like four emails a day or something. Like, he probably sends way more than he receives, though, honestly.
Well, he doesn't actually send them. He just forwards them.
Okay, that's good. He's the king of forwards.
He's the king of email forwards.
Yeah, so I just found that interesting, and I kind of wish we would find out a little more about that. Like, I'm kind of surprised it wasn't included in one of Jim's, like, talking heads.
Yeah.
Like, so I have this rule in my email where... you know, all of Michael's emails go to my spam. Like, I'm surprised they don't, like, highlight that. Because that's such a gym thing, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, just wait until email surveillance, folks.
Yeah, really.
All right. Let's move on to one of our last segments. So, this is called our Cole Walk segment. If you've seen the Beach Games episode, you'll know what the Cole Walk refers to. Michael Scott, looking for someone to replace him when he goes to get a promotion, sets up a burning Cole Walk on the beach and says that whoever walks through coals is fit to be manager.
Mm-hmm.
Did I miss anything?
No, that's perfect. That's amazing. No, yeah, so this is going to be our hot takes in our opinions about the episode that we covered. So you want to go on a coal walk?
I would love to. Okay. Do you want to walk over burning coals? Over boiling steam, perhaps the Michael Scott way.
I'm gonna put my forearms in it.
Or the Dwight, like burnt to a crisp. Okay.
Ew. Michael was like, it smells terrible.
Like, oh God, that stinks!
And meanwhile, Dwight is like writhing around in the coals.
Oh
my God. Anyways, I can't wait till we cover that episode.
Yeah, I know.
I'm like crying. I can't even read my notes.
Anyway, okay, take me on a coal walk, Savannah. Okay.
So my coal walk this week is that I think Jim should have been reprimanded or punished in some way for encouraging Michael to act up in front of corporate, basically by setting him up for That's What She Said jokes. And by that, by that, I specifically mean Jim saying things like, you really think you can go all day long? That is really hard. But you always left me satisfied and smiling. And Michael, in that moment, just cannot help himself. He's, like, literally about to implode and, like, reboot as Jim is saying this stuff.
Yeah.
And so, finally, of course, he's like, that's what she said! And just, like, cackles.
Explodes.
Yes, literally explodes. And it's just, I don't know, it's annoying that Jim did not get in trouble, especially since this was done in front of corporate, corporate people.
And Jan's she's a boss. Like, she doesn't let anything go by
her. She's mean.
But then she lets Jim goad Michael into saying a That's What She Said joke.
Yes. And it's just like, yeah, I don't know. He should have totally been punished. And I just, that bothers me.
100%. I'm with you on that one.
Okay. Do you want to take me on a coal walk now?
So my coal walk is this whole episode. I think a lot of us feel sympathetic for Pam. She's constantly like harassed and teased. She's a younger female in this environment. Kevin calls her Mama MILF. She like Michael and her constantly have these awkward interactions, right? There's a lot of uncomfortable things for Pam in this office. However, in the previous episode, season 2, episode 1, right before this one, it's the Dundies.
Right.
So
in the Chili's.
There's God in the Chili's.
God, yes. Mm-hmm.
So Pam, as we remember, gets drunk on second drinks and Chili's Margs. And Winza Dundee is very flirtatious and close with Michael, thanking him, and then runs back to the table where she's sitting with Jim and plants a smooch right on his lips.
Yes. And this is in front of everyone. Pam's fiance is not there, but
the whole office
is there.
Oscar's kind of smiling in the background. Like, people saw.
Yes. No, they definitely saw. And again, my question is, where the fuck was Toby?
Yes, our crack HR rep. He was not there. But how is that? So this is my coal walk, though. How is that not sexual harassment?
It totally is. And that's why I'm saying, where was Toby, the sexual harassment police? Like, and also, why was that not brought up during
the sexual
training?
Harassment episode,
the training.
Or
that's a real life example, you know, that happened in front of everyone. So that's the best example for training.
It's because Jim and Pam are Jim and Pam, and you are rooting for them. But objectively, if a coworker of mine that I flirted with me, kissed me at Chili's drunk in front of everyone at a work event, I would be pretty uncomfortable. So,
I mean, for sure. And also, it just kind of, I don't know, like, that's how Jim and Pam are in the office. Like, they both kind of get away with stuff. Yes. Like, especially Jim, like, with Michael Walk. Like, right. That's just his personality. And especially with, like, pulling all the pranks on right. Dwight.
Yeah.
Like, the wire up the telephone pole.
Yeah,
are
that
you kidding
was
me?
Nuts. Yeah.
Of course, the stapler and the Jell-O is the most popular, but he just constantly gets away
he
with stuff.
Some
and I feel
dangerous ones.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I feel like Pam gets roped into that with him. Like, oh, just Jim and Pam, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, they do some stuff that I think should be called out on. Both of them.
Are the bottom of your feet okay?
They are burning. That was a hot coal walk.
That was a hot coal walk.
Burning from the coal, not athlete's foot, perhaps.
You really had to say that.
It didn't come off as good the second time.
Okay. All right. So now we are going to give Dundee Awards. This is going to be the end of our episode. So Savannah, what Dundee Award would you like to give this episode?
Yes. So season 2, episode 2, sexual harassment gets most notable phrase for me. And that is for the phrase, "That's what she said," of course.
Title of our podcast.
Yes, that phrase is close to my heart. Yours as well now. I'm going to give that Dundee to this episode.
Yeah, I love that. And that's what she said is, it's just the epitome of the show.
I agree. And also kind of a sign of the times as well, which I really love because it's a very nostalgic feeling for me. Like, I feel like I was in middle school and people were like saying that.
That's what
you
she
know?
Said.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's just that like childlike, I mean, right? Like some of it's ignorance and some of it's like wonder.
Right.
Like, and so Michael Scott, I just think it perfectly embodies the character and the reason why it's endearing and why people come back. It's like that almost like inner child in
for
like
sure.
the best and worst ways.
For sure. For sure.
Cringy and funny. And
yes, I agree.
So my Dundee for this one is one of the best Michael Scott metaphors.
Mm-hmm.
So Michael, as you know, the aforementioned email forwards with all the sex things. And it's a talking head and he's very frustrated about the fact that corporate might, you know, be whatever, blocking these or that he won't be allowed to say things anymore.
Right.
You can't just say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And his, you know, he says, like, where does it end? You know, like, you wouldn't arrest a guy who's just delivering drugs from one person to another. Oh, wait, I didn't set that up right.
Wait, what?
I didn't set that up right. He doesn't write the emails. Cut.
Okay.
Cut. So, okay. Can you ask me what my Dundee is?
Okay, Rachel, what is your Dundee for this episode?
My Dundee is one of the best Michael Scott metaphors. So he sends all those email forwards. Mm-hmm. And in one of his talking heads, he says, what you have to understand is that I don't write these emails. I just forward them along.
Yes.
So he's not creating the emails.
Right.
And he says, you wouldn't arrest a guy who's just delivering drugs from one person to another. It's just one of the best Michael Scott metaphors. It's so funny.
Yes.
And it's this moment where there's like a pause and he's like looking at the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And in my head, I literally say, yes, you would. Like, it's like a reflex reaction. And then it cuts to some other like mundane thing happening in the office.
Yes. Yes. But I love it too, because it like the way it's set up is he has the pause after and he's just like looking at the camera. And it's for me, it's like, oh, yeah, you know, he's right. And then I'm like, wait a minute. That's literally distribution. And also, it's a part of his innocence and his lore as well. Like, just not knowing how the drug trade works.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I mean,
he's not well versed in the drug trade.
Right.
I hear
right.
You.
He just accepts funny cigarettes from girls at Alicia
with
Keys'
lip
concert.
With lip rings.
Yes, Alicia Keys' concert with lip rings. But yeah, no, that's a great
Dundee.
A great Dundee, yes.
Thanks.
Yes.
All right, folks, that's the end of our pilot episode. Please reach out to us. Send us your Dundies and Roast for the week. Let us know where you're listening from, what your favorite Office episode is, whatever you want.
Yes, and also send us your Beats, Bears, and Battlestar Galacticas for the episode that we covered today. We want to know what your opinions and hot takes and dislikes and likes are. Yeah, what your cold walks are, too. You can send those. You can do all that via email at whatshesaidpod.dm@gmail.com. Or you can also DM us on Instagram at whatshesaidpod.dm, as in Dunder Mifflin, so we can share all of that on the show. We want to get you guys involved in everything. We are also looking for guests. We're curating a guest list now. So if you have a favorite episode that you want to come and talk to us about on our podcast, then let us know. We are going to go chronologically from here. So go ahead and call dibs on one of your favorite episodes and we can add you to the list. I think that about covers it. You want to sign off?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. We'll catch you guys next time.
Thanks for listening.
That's what she said.